Hello, how are you guys doing? All right, so quickly, I've got three sources for you that it's an exposition of the evidences that relate to the debate that with Apus, where he obliterated himself, where he humiliated himself, where he decimated himself, annihilated himself, finished himself, because he's a man with multi-layered self-delusion. He's a man with with delusions of grandeur. He's a man who's unaccomplished in every sphere of life. But moving on now, humiliation is done. Self-humiliation has been complete. Moving on. The point I wanted to make is just, this is just a discussion about the exposition of some of the evidences I put forward. So one evidence I talked about is Ibn Munada, about the rotundity of the earth, of the roundness of the earth of the early times. Now, if you look at the first tweet that I've put in the comment section and also the description box below, you'll find here the reference to Ibn Munada, where he says that actually the majority of scholars of his time said that the earth was round. Okay, and he was at the time of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who's the companion. He was not a Tabi'i, by the way, that was a mistake, but he's still of the Salaf. So he was still in, you know, the first 300 years of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, Ahmad ibn Hanbal died 241, he died 335. So he was of the Salaf, and he did say about the rotundity of the earth. The second thing we talked about is in chapter 25, verse number 61, I made the claim that there's two ways of reading this. Sirajan, which means sun, that Allah created all of these things, the constellations and so on. And then he said the sun and the moon. So there's one qira'ah, as we know, there's multiple ways of reciting the Quran, and all of them are harmonious and complementary, not contradictory and unharmonious. So The second way, which is Qira'at Hamza and Kisa'i, as you can see here underneath in the description box in the second tweet, is Surajan. Surajan is the plural of the word Sirajan, and Siraj means sun, so the plural of that is many suns, which is in line with the general 21st century cosmological picture. Now, I'm not saying that's the only interpretation. Maybe you can interpret it as stars, no problem. The idea is, it's definitely linguistically facilitated that you can say that these are many suns. Why? Because it's the plural of the word Siraj. It's the plural of the word Siraj. All right, so we said number one is Ibn Munada's quote, first tweet, second tweet, the sun. And the general thing I'm saying is that the Quran is applicable for 7th century and for 21st century. I'm not saying that, it's not a bold concordance claim that the Quran is saying things, it's acting like a scientific textbook and so on. I'm just saying it's harmonious with the 7th century, 21st century and everything between. So that was the claim I'm making. And you can't use science to disprove the Quran for reasons related to this, but also to the philosophy of science, the fact that science is not incorrigible, etc. That it's something which is not meant to produce a set of eternal truths in that sense. So that's the first argument. The second thing I talked about was the Riddah, the Hukm of Riddah and so on. Now, if you look at the third tweet below, one second. Here, it's very important to talk up, to mention that we're not talking about them. Hukm, the asr of the Hukm. It's very clear. We're not talking about the default hukum, the penal or the had punishment applied to the murtad. We're not talking about this. We are talking about the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he was conditioned, yes, to not return any murtad that goes to them. He was conditioned to not return any murtad that goes to the disbelieving lands, and he accepted that condition. So what my point was is that this sets a precedent. Okay, this sets a precedent. Now the question could be asked, well, is this only those who are there, okay, and they don't have to be returned, or does it include those on the way and those who are going there? Well, either way, if we accept A, which is those who are there don't need to be returned back and the had doesn't need to be done, that's a wajib action which has been made mu'attal, which has been suspended by the contract, right? So if one wajib can be mu'attal of the contract, then the question is, why can't we extend that wajib? Even if you don't accept the fact, even if you want to say that the nas is not clear, that the text is not clear about those who are there and those who are on the way. But the point is, the principle is in place that a had can be suspended, yeah? A penal law can be suspended based on what? Based on the fact that there is ishtirat in the contract, condition in the contract. And it's not a batil shart, it's not a false shart, the contract still stands, you see. This is the thamara, this is the fruit that we get from that. Now, someone may disagree with this, and I know there are disagreements in the scholarly circles. I know Ibn Hazm had a completely different opinion to this. He said this is only applicable to the Prophet ﷺ and so on. There is definitely a difference of opinion, scope of opinion here. But this is the opinion that I follow. This is the opinion that I follow. I think this is the best opinion. And also, not only that, but the most reasonable one for our times, especially considering the fact that there's an American hegemonic power. And we have to understand, with the American hegemonic power, and what do you think you can do? What do you think you can do, honestly, as a Muslim nation like Brunei or something like this? You can't do much. So it's actually darura, it's necessity anyway. I mean, this is a point of necessity. And as we know in Usul Fiqh, ad-darura tubih al-mahdhurat. The necessities allows that which is otherwise not allowed anyway. I mean, otherwise not allowed. Anyways, wad-darura tuqaddaru biqadriha, and the darura is to be measured with its appropriate level of measurement. In other words, you don't go overboard. You do as much as you need to do. But this, clearly, in the 21st century, where someone might say, well, how is this Sharia meant to be implemented, really, on the state level, on the level of the state? When considering the hegemonic power of America and the West and so on, what I'm saying is that there's room for compromise. And this is the point, guys. Listen carefully. The reason why the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was who he was, the reason why the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was who he was, because he knew when to fight and he knew when to compromise. And not only when to fight and when to compromise, how to fight and how to compromise, and with whom to fight and with whom to compromise. If you know in life who to fight, how to fight, and when to fight, how to compromise, with whom to compromise, and how to compromise, you will be successful. That's why, even from a secular paradigm, yeah, you have to admit that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's become a cliche now, like put him as number one of the most influential people in the world. But the point is, you have to admit that he was militarily successful. You have to admit that. He was absolutely military. And why was he militarily successful? Because he made the right decisions. You can't be a military success by making frivolous and capricious and arbitrary ad hoc type decisions. You can't. And so, when the Sharia allows all of these things that we've just mentioned, binas al-hadith, yeah, binusus al-hadith, Quran al-hadith, with the textual evidence of Quran hadith, I believe it's upon us as Muslims, actually, yeah, to present the Sharia with the full scope of those nuances. Because when someone says, for example, well, what, you know, would you want this killing of apostates and these? Look, we're talking about 21st century. If the Prophet ﷺ, within the span of his own life, was able to make compromises, yes, he was able to make compromises, subhanAllah, on such issues, why are we're 21st century, we can't even use the scope of the jurisprudential maneuverability to make such compromises as well. And this is clearly in the deen. So we have to remember, we're living in a time of necessity. We are living in a time of darura. And the deen came to protect five things. Okay, the five things that the deen came to protect was the deen, the aql, the nafs, the aql, the mal, and the ard, the religion. The deen came to protect the religion, the self, human self, yeah, the wealth of the individuals, the aql, the intelligence of the individual, and finally, the ard, the honor of the individual. So we always have to assess these five things, yeah, in conjunction with what we're doing. It's not always, oh, you bring a hadith. You have to bring a hadith in the context of what the life. What's the point? What's the point of you bringing me a hadith? Man baddala dinahu faqtuluh. What's the point of you bringing me that hadith when actually there's context to that hadith, and there's other hadith, and there's other situations? What's the point of you bringing me the hadith that whoever changed their deen, let's kill them? Yeah, the hadith is there. And if it's not itlaq, because if it's itlaq, then whoever comes Muslim is killed as well. So clearly you have to understand the hadith. Yeah, because if it was general, then whoever changes his religion, meaning a Christian, become Muslim, you're going to kill him. Clearly, there's context behind it, and that's why you have to understand these things. And when we're given answers, we have to be measured. Listen, we have to be measured. Yeah, because these people are looking for some wild answer that make us look backward and make Islam look at a impossible religion for the 21st century, which it isn't, because we have usul al-fiqh, we have parameters, we have qawaid, and so on and so forth. And so with that, I leave the evidences, and I put also something of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, where he mentions that the treaty that you can put in place is la hadda laha. It's la hadda laha, which means it can be up until whenever you like. It's not just like, oh, someone could say it's time bound. It's not time bound. Ibn Hajar himself says it can continue for forever. So I've done that in 10 minutes. Check the tweets out if you understand them, if you don't. But I've put all the sources there. Clearly, we're not trying to reinvent something. We're not trying to reinvent something. This is all within the deen, all within the framework. And that's what people have to understand. And in fact, one more thing I want to leave with you. Ash-Shatibi mentions that when you have qawaid, yeah, it's actually more heavy than hadith, because qawaid is made up of many different hadith in Quran. So when I say ad-darurat tubihul mahdurat, times of necessity, yeah, it allows that which is halal, haram, make it halal. That's deeper and more of an evidence than you bring in single hadith, because it's made up of many different hadith. It's many evidences. And that's how you have to think now. You can't just think, oh, hadith. You have to think qawaid, principles. And then the hadith come. The hadith make up all them, make up the principle, rather than the opposite. And so the principles are, in many, according to Ash-Shatibi, even more powerful than the hadith, because they're made up of many of them. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.